the game is over. Can the sun add to his size? Can the moon advance beyond her usual fullness? The seas do not increase in bulk. The universe keeps the same character, the same limits. Things which have reached their full stature cannot grow higher. Men who have attained wisdom will therefore be equal and on the same footing. Each of them will possess his own peculiar gifts. One will be more affable, another more facile, another more ready of speech, a fourth more eloquent. But, as regards the quality under discussion, the element that produces happiness, it is equal in them all. I do not know whether this Etna of yours can collapse and fall in ruins, whether this lofty summit, visible for many miles over the deep sea, is wasted by the incessant power of the flames. But I do know that virtue will not be brought down to a lower plane either by flames or by ruins. Hers is the only greatness that knows no lowering. There can be for her no further rising or sinking. Her stature, like that of the stars in the heavens, is fixed. Let us, therefore, strive to raise ourselves to this altitude. Already much of the task is accomplished. Nay, rather, if I can bring myself to confess the truth, not much. For goodness does not mean merely being better than the lowest. Who, that could catch but a mere glimpse of the daylight, would boast his powers of vision? One who sees the sun shining through a mist may be contented, meanwhile, that he has escaped darkness, but he does not yet enjoy the blessing of light. Our souls will not have reason to rejoice in their lot until, freed from this darkness in which they grope, they have not merely glimpsed the brightness with feeble vision, but have absorbed the full light of day and have been restored to their place in the sky, until, indeed, they have regained the place which they held at the allotment of their birth. The soul is summoned upward by its very origin, and it will reach that goal even before it is released from its prison below, as soon as it has cast off sin and, in purity and lightness, has leaped up into the celestial realms of thought. I am glad, beloved Lucilius, that we are occupied with this ideal, that we pursue it with all our might, even though few know it, or none. Fame is the shadow of virtue. It will attend virtue even against her will. But, as the shadow sometimes precedes and sometimes follows or even lags behind, so fame sometimes goes before us and shows herself in plain sight, and sometimes is in the rear, and is all the greater in proportion as she is late in coming, when once envy has beaten a retreat. How long did men believe Democritus to be mad? Glory barely came to Socrates. And how long did our state remain in ignorance of Cato? They rejected him, and did not know his worth until they had lost him. If Rutilius had not resigned himself to wrong, his innocence and virtue would have escaped notice. The hour of his suffering was the hour of his triumph. Did he not give thanks for his lot and welcome his exile with open arms? I have mentioned thus far those to whom fortune has brought renown at the very moment of persecution. But how many there are whose progress toward virtue has come to light only after their death, and how many have been ruined, not rescued, by their reputation. There is Epicurus, for example. Mark how greatly he is admired, not only by the more cultured, but also by this ignorant rabble. This man, however, was unknown to Athens itself, near which he had hidden himself away, and so, when he had already survived by many years his friend Metrodorus, he added in a letter these last words, proclaiming with thankful appreciation the friendship that had existed between them. So greatly blessed were Metrodorus and I, that it has been no harm to us to be unknown and almost unheard of in this well-known land of Greece. Is it not true, therefore, that men did not discover him until after he had ceased to be? Has not his renown shone forth for all that? Metrodorus also admits this fact in one of his letters, that Epicurus and he were not well known to the public. But he declares that after the lifetime of Epicurus and himself, any man who might wish to follow in their footsteps would win great and ready-made renown. Virtue is never lost to view, and yet to have been lost to view is no loss. There will come a day which will reveal her, though hidden away or suppressed by the spite of her contemporaries. That man is born merely for a few, who thinks only of the people of his own generation. Many thousands of years, and many thousands of peoples, will come after you. It is to these that you should have regard. Malice may have imposed silence upon the mouths of all who were alive in your day, but there will come men who will judge you without prejudice and without favor. If there is any reward that virtue receives at the hands of fame, not even this can pass away. We ourselves, indeed, shall not be affected by the talk of posterity. Nevertheless, posterity will cherish and celebrate us, even though we are not conscious thereof. Virtue has never failed to reward a man, both during his life and after his